Cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to do. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're
and you can have your dream, you're the best. Right?
Never.
Nothing ever.
Nothing never.
Nothing's gonna ever. What are you, a Guido? Nothing's gonna ever, and you make it never?
Nothing's never gonna keep
I guess that is. Wow, I didn't realize never is a combination of three words. Nothing's gonna ever. You exactly. You ever noticed did that, yo?
No, I didn't.
You ever noticed it did that? Yo, what
you
he needed?
So smart.
Yo, so this be the Cap Figure Podcast. It's episode 31. Who's 31?
We got the most years, 21, Greg Maddux. And he also has the highest war. A couple of other notable 31s. We got Dave Winfield, the great Fergie Jenkins, and Chuck Finley. And probably two of your personal favorites, Mike Piazza and John Franco.
Yeah, yeah, good. Yeah. Oh, I think I had 31 maybe for a minute in softball, and I looked it up. I think Jock Peterson might have been 31 for
he
a
is.
Minute.
He is. He's also it's also a prime number, so that's good luck.
Oh, snap. I was going to act like I thought about it for a second, and I was like, yeah, it is a prime number, but I can't divide by every number in my head that quickly.
I wasn't 100% sure. I was just throwing it out there. So if it isn't, we're really stupid.
No, no,
I'm pretty sure it is.
It is, because not. Let's spend the radio show going through this. All right, so it's Cap Figure Podcast, episode 31. Today's episode, we're continuing our MLB Look At, where we look at teams. It's a great title for a great series.
By a great man.
By a great man. And today's episode is about the Brewers.
Boo.
So that's not very nice. So, but before we go in, Tom, and I'm gonna get serious for a minute. I'm gonna read what I wrote. I wrote this article. You know, this all came to light. You know, 2 days ago, I released this article in my non-existent newspaper that I'm the front page writer on, and I'm just gonna read it. But it's a breaking story. It's gripping. It's sad. It's very interesting, so please just take this seriously. So Bernie Brewer, I must be honest.
Who is he, by the way? So they know.
Very good. He's the mascot of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Okay.
You know him from his giant mustache. He slides down a slide when they hit a home run.
And his blonde hair. He's basically the epitome of
masculinity.
Wisconsin.
He's very, very...
J.J. Watt-like.
Wisconsin. All right. So, if you'll allow me, on a cold January morning, a call from an unknown Wisconsin number came in, and usually I'd ignore it, you know, with a sports touter or a telemarketer, but for some reason this day I answered. "Hi, is this Ryan DiPaolo of Cap Figure?" I said, "Yes, who's calling?" He said, "Bernie Brewer, and I have a big scoop if you want it." I was really excited, obviously. You know, I know as a big-time journalist that this stuff can happen, but... So he laid out some terms to me, and obviously I granted them. And again, as a hardcore journalist, I was surprised, though, that he had so many concerns regarding his own life, including his wife, Bonnie Brewer. I remembered thinking to myself, why would I write about Bonnie in a scoop about Ryan Braun trade talks or Orlando Arcia's development? Then, like an atom bomb, Bernie said the words that would fundamentally make every Brewers fan, and maybe every baseball fan, question reality. "I'm gay." Oh, wait, is this Tom? Is this some kind of joke? "No, Ryan, it's not. It's all been a sham. Bonnie has been in denial for years, and management has looked the other way." After I took a few deep breaths and my fake homophobia settled down, he told me it all. He described the torment of holding in his feminine giggles every time he has to go down the home run slide. The horror of working next to a barrel man, a naked man, but for a barrel for the early part of his career. The shame of lying to Bonnie over and over and over every time he was hanging out with his, quote, best friend, the Tampa Bay Bucks pirate. But worst of all, by far, that all 82 games, at every 82 home game for the last 30 years, a sausage race. A sausage race. Imagine the agony of a heroin addict having to watch giant needles and bags of heroin race around their office 82 times a year. A sausage race. So, you know, there's a little bit more, but I reached the Brewers for comment, and because everyone in corporate America are a bunch of pussies, they said they're firing Bonnie and hiring Bruce Brewer. So, his new boy toy for 2017. So, it's a me. I'm proud of him, because if I don't say I'm proud of him, then there'll be a witch hunt. What are your thoughts, Tom? The epitome of masculinity. Who would have thought?
I mean, I hope that this doesn't prevent him from sliding down that slide. I know he won't have to much this season.
Instead of the potato sack, he can use Bruce. He can sit on Bruce's lap. So anyway, so the Brewers. So what are their last couple of years look like? Do you have that?
I do.
They're bad.
Yes, they definitely are not good.
When was that? They made the playoffs recently. I remember the year they one of the Prince Fielder Ryan Braun prime years. They were an exciting team. I mean, they had two guys who could hit friggin' 50 home runs.
So 2014 we got 82-80. 2015 68-94. 2016 73-89. And you know, this is a little bit off topic, but it's kind of interesting. The Brewers still, so 2014 they drew $2.8 million, 2015 $2.5 million, and 2016 $2.3 million.
Wow.
I mean, their fans are pretty loyal to this team, despite the fact that they really are. I mean, if I were there, I'm a huge baseball fan. I don't even think I could go and root for this team, because your main attraction is Ryan Braun, and he's basically as unattractive of a player as
well,
it gets
right
at this point.
At this moment, they are in the peak, like as of last year. They're in the peak of the non-exciting part of rebuilding, where like they're bad and they have yet to trade away what few good pieces they have, right? They're just beginning to do that the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I just looking at those attendance numbers, I hadn't seen them. That's amazing. And they drew 3 million the years that they're good. That's a great number, like for a team like that. They did poorly last year as expected. They were able to what'd they do?
Traded Jonathan
Luke Roy
to the Rangers.
They made moves. I mean, they really got a pieces back. They were saying that in 2015, I believe they improved their farm system the most of any team, and they continued that a little bit in 2016. Jonathan VR emerged on offense, at least. You know, he was playing shortstop last year, but he's certainly capable of being an all-star. I guess that's all there is. It's like they're in the worst part of rebuilding, right? So it's a pretty unfun team to talk about in a lot of ways.
You know, it's interesting, though, and to take a little bit of a higher view, you know, the Brewers, their previous front office was about as stable as it gets. I forget the guy's name, but he was basically there for, you know, going back to like the glory days of the 70s. They signed this young GM named David Stearns, who had worked at the MLB offices. He's a Harvard grad, and by all means, just a very impressive sort of young executive in baseball. And, you know, the traditional rebuilding route, I don't think they totally stuck to that. You know, some of these players that they have, you mentioned Jonathan VR. I mean, I think people started to realize how good he was, especially the second half of last season. But, I mean, he's 25 years old. He's a switch hitter. He can play second, short, or third. They acquired him from Houston. A lot of these moves that Stearns made when he first came into this position, I think, kind of went under the radar.
Yeah.
But he acquired a lot of players, to me, that had a lot of, or they had a very high potential, but they really didn't get it right away.
Yeah, it's like what you and I like. That they got, I think, during last season or 2015, one of them, they acquired three first-round picks in trades in during the season, three former first-round pick players.
Right.
And that's like what we like when Cashman does it, or anyone, like people that were a high prospect at some point who haven't lived up to it are usually they're that highly touted for a reason, and that somewhere in them it's there.
Which is very smart, because
especially for a team like the Brewers,
you know, there is a psychological element too. And you know, you could think about even the Yankees. Let's think about their situation right now. Someone like Aaron Judge, I mean, the hype train was just ridiculous. Even when he first came up, you know, Sanchez came up and he came up, and Judge, I think, hit a home run in either his like first or second at bat, and everyone was like, oh my god, this guy's the next Dave Winfield, but then cooled off significantly. You know, he's the kind of player to me that Stearns would be looking at, which is very smart, because you know, there is sort of an element, right? If Cashman had a lot of attachment to how well Aaron Judge was going to be, and he's telling ownership, oh, Aaron Judge is going to be the next Dave Winfield, but then he just burns out immediately, you know, there's a temptation to just rid your hands of it and kind of get him away from the situation.
That's interesting, yeah.
So, you know, you look at some of the other acquisitions they made. They picked up a starting pitcher that basically nobody had ever heard of off waivers from the White Sox, named Junior Guerra, who's 32 years old. He hadn't started in the major leagues. And last year, he only pitched 121 innings. But he was the number 43 overall starting pitcher in the league. So he's not an ace, but, you know, would you pick up a number two starting pitcher off waivers and take him?
They were better like last year than they were expected to be. Like, you know, people thought they would be worse than they were. They have obviously the thing with VR, just, you know, I guess this is as important as any staple. Like, two of their biggest prospects are center fielder Brett Phillips, who like hits for power, but I don't know how his defense is or not. He hasn't played it yet in
the
majors.
He's a slugger. He's going to be a corner outfielder.
Yeah, okay. So he's a power hitter, you're right. And Orlando Arcia, which is awesome too, that because VR's defense is bad, but his defense is good enough. Like,
it's not great at shortstop.
Right, but at second base, I love him. Like, he's really awesome at second base. He'll be like Gene Segura could be last year.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, it is a good comp.
Same type of player.
And then when you get a good shortstop, right, he needs to try to steal less VR. You know, man, it would have really like completed the quadfecta. I don't know if anybody ever says that, of deals if they could trade Braun for any type of value, but you know, it is what it is. Like,
well, look, I mean, I'm looking at the guaranteed salaries for the Brewers, and they only have three players who are post arbitration actually making guaranteed money. One of them is the player Eric Thames that they signed from the Korean League this past year.
To play first base, right?
Right.
After they let Chris Carter walk.
We'll get to that. That's an amazing under-the-radar signing. We'll get to that in a little bit. But to me, when they signed Braun, you know, it was, I believe, off of one of the MVP seasons, or he was heading into that. You know, we talk about this, but the smaller market teams, this kind of becomes a problem, right? Because they get tied to this one player. Even at the time, I mean, he's making $20 million the next two seasons, but that $20 million doesn't reflect what his market value was. It reflects the fact that they thought he was a franchise player who was going to sell jerseys and put fans in the stands. So, you know, that's just a bad situation. I think that the Brewers would love to trade him to a team like the Dodgers. You know, maybe even like a team like the Mets.
His PR is as bad as it gets. Like,
that's,
I mean, for whatever factor that is, and in his case, it's pretty big. Well, especially with the Dodgers because of the Matt Kemp stuff, even though people don't like Matt Kemp, because it was between Braun and Matt Kemp for MVP that year. Matt Kemp deserved it. He had a higher WAR, a better year. Braun hit more home runs and ribbies and stuff. But anyway.
But, they're not going to be able to move Braun. One last point is, look at the free agent market and who's still available.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have Bautista,
absolutely.
You have Trumbo. I mean, you're going to have a hard time convincing a team
to give up something besides money for him. Like, yeah, absolutely. No, you're right. I mean, it's the more extreme situation, but like, you say Braun is like a corner outfield power hitter, and that has less value. The extreme example that you referenced is Chris Carter, who hits 41 home runs, has a really good season, But they'd rather have a guy who gets on base, as would every other team, because he's still on sign, like a 41-homer guy.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
he had a good year. Like, I like his year better than – it wasn't like the year he hit 199 with the Astros and you know, hit, like, whatever, 30 home runs. But who is this guy? Who's Thames? Like,
so he was sort of that profile we were talking
this
about.
This is who they signed to play first base instead in replacement of Chris Carter, who they let walk, by the way.
Correct. He was a very highly touted prospect. This is going back, I would say, 6 or 7 years ago. Never was able to put it together in the majors. Showed a few flashes, but then in Korea, he was just putting up outrageous numbers. I mean, he was basically one of the MVPs of that league. And they signed him. They got a very club-friendly deal. I mean, 2017, 2018, and 2019, $4, $5, and $6 million guaranteed.
Wow.
But then also have a club option in 2020 for $7.5 million, which, look, I mean, this guy, I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, one of the top 10 first basemen in the league. But, I mean, again, like, he has definitely shown that he's capable of, at the very worst, being a productive bench player or hitter, you know, in the major leagues. And it's another one of those things where I think that this contract, besides it being just team friendly, it's the kind of thing where, okay, let's say he goes off. He's 30 years old. Let's say he goes off and has a great season this year. I mean, you could get back a pretty good haul for that.
Right.
3 years, what is this? 3 years, $18 million for a first baseman.
Right,
if he shows he can be an MLB first baseman.
You're absolutely
baseman.
Right. Or they could just keep him if they think that he can stay. He's 30 years old. Like, they could just keep. You're absolutely right, though. But these are great. Yeah, you know, the ones I started looking at the Brewers, I don't like them because I don't like their uniforms. But I don't hate how they're going about this stuff. They're being a little, like, cheap to me, you know, whatever. But they're not totally hateable. I really liked those teams with the team, you know, CC and Prince and stuff. But anyway, so and but they have a lot of young guys that are coming up. So their strategy, like, if you look at, like, they're not doing the super tank, I guess, like you pointed out. They're doing, like, the baby tank. Not that you can pick how many games you win necessarily, right? It just, but this is by in effect, based on how they were a little bit better than they thought they'd be last year. But, like, you don't do the Astros or the Phillies. You do, like, I don't know who's a team, like a good version of what the Padres wish they could do or something, maybe, where now you have, you trade the few pieces like Carlos Gomez and Luke Roy or whatever, and whoever they traded for Shaw, they got another prospect in return.
Oh, yeah, Tyler Thornburg.
Yeah. People like the prospect that they got back from him a lot. I forget his name. But, you know, they have enough prospects that they can just wait and let them come up and develop. Or, like you said, if one of them pops off, especially someone like Thames, who's playing this year, they could get back a ton. Or VR, you know, anything. You have some options. But that said, they're tied with the bottom five teams in baseball for the longest odds to win the World Series this next season.
They're going to finish in the bottom five. There's no doubt to
Yeah.
A couple of interesting things. So, like, last year, this team set the major league record for strikeouts in a single season. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with
Chris Carter,
the players, and Chris Carter specifically. But, you know, I guess the question I would ask is that indicative of their greater strategy? Are they trying to follow sort of like the blueprint of the Astros, where you either strike out, you hit a home run, or you walk?
Well, I don't know, because then you
or
don't,
is it just a talent issue?
Yeah, I think it's just I think it's just a talent issue, because, like, you don't if they were trying to do that, then Chris Carter, who had a top 100 baseball season last year just by some overall ranking metric, or 105, whatever, you keep someone like him, because he does walk, even though he doesn't get on base a lot because his batting average is so low. I don't know. What do you think? You think they want to be like that?
I mean, look, he was the youngest general manager, I think, that was ever signed. And, you know, there's a lot more to do with it than just age, but I think Stearns is definitely in that sort of, like,
of that mold,
saber matrician kind of mold,
right,
where he's going to try stuff that might sound a little bit ridiculous. You know, this is a team, we always talk about that three inning reliever rotation. I mean, if there's ever a team that would probably try it, it's either this team or Tampa Bay.
You're right. All their starters, some were going five innings, but good, right? I mean, or like that, like they're capable of it, or
yeah. And it's you know, they, what do they have to lose to experiment with this kind of stuff too?
Well, but it's crazy because you would think that, but they drew a million more people than the Indians drew. You know, which is funny to think, like, what do they have to lose? But the fans are loyal enough, I guess. It's like, if you get good eventually, it'll way pay off, clearly, because the good years when they've made the playoffs in 08 and 13 and 11, I mean, they drew 3 million, like we said.
I mean, you know, it has to do with the market, too. Could that attendance have to do with just the fact that what else can you really do in Milwaukee? I mean, I'm not trying to sound like obnoxious, but the options for entertainment are somewhat limited.
Yeah, it's like, so
summer,
you might as well try to win and do whatever wacky stuff you can, right?
Yeah. You know, another area that I don't think we mentioned him, but the one prospect that I really like, there's one prospect I love, and there's one player currently on their team that I love. They're both center fielders. I love Lewis Brinson, who they acquired from the Rangers in the Lucroy trade. He's a top 15 or so prospect across the board by the ranking systems. And then Keon Broxton, who is a little bit older. He's 27. They got him in a trade in, I think it was late 2015, from the Pirates, who just had a ton of outfield prospects. He really showed some flashes to me. He broke his arm towards the end of the year and had to miss the final stretch, but he made some phenomenal plays in center field, and his bat was starting to come around. So he's another player I would look out for. And then even at, you know, their catcher, Andrew Susak, he's 27. They got him in a trade this August from San Francisco. They gave up one of their relievers to the Giants and got Susak in return, but he was a top catching prospect.
Yeah, that's amazing to even get any starting catcher for somebody. You know what I mean? Like that's a win.
Definitely. And so all of those, like, you know, potentially high ceiling young players they have are still pre-arbitration and have 4, 5, 6 years left of service time. So I think that, you know, they're putting together kind of like the right formula if Milwaukee's ever going to win and press again to, you know, build a good young core. They're going about it the right way. They're
right,
building up the middle, and they have all of these high potential young players.
Right. And we didn't really talk about their pitching. Their rotation is bad right now.
Horrible.
But, like, yeah, probably the worst in baseball, maybe behind the Padres or something like that.
Maybe even worse.
But they have some flashes of stuff you like, what's his name? Like Jimmy Nelson played good in a lot
of
starts.
He pitched very well for a period of time.
Corey Kniebel, I don't know how to say his name. Kniebel, I had him in FanDuel a bunch of times, but he's good. They have him listed in the bullpen in their depth chart now, which is, like you're saying, their depth chart on their site has 7 starters in their rotation. So, like, they are a candidate for the, especially if they're some sabermetric mentality, that they would do the three starters. Also, you know what, the Travis Shaw, we didn't mention, he was really good in the first half last year.
Definitely.
And maybe, I don't think that they would, maybe they would just keep Scooter Gennett as some type of
utility
player or something, but he's tradable maybe. I mean, there's a lot of second basemen in baseball, but he hits for a high average. Like he's whatever. I mean, we don't need to be positive about their team right now. They're not going to be good. But if a 1/3 of all these prospects who are first round picks or high, you know, turn out to be something, then they'll be all right. And yeah, Thames, it's real very interesting though, because maybe maybe we'll see a rebound of like the extreme of the Astros, like totally just willing to strike out, home run, you know, 3 outcomes. Maybe it'll back off a little, where it's like back to on base and defense is like where the what's it called, the something in the market. I'm just brain dead. What are they called? The deficiency in the market.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. So that's about it for the Brewers. You got anything else?
I don't.
Their jerseys,
I guess,
are hideous, right?
Oh, it's disgusting.
They should
I think
go,
they
back,
should
to
go
MB,
back to the
MB. Yeah,
baby
the
blue
glove with the MB. You know, I didn't know that was MB forever. I thought it was just a glove, like, but
I mean, what would you say to me? Look, we know they're not going to be good this year. They're probably not going to be good in 2018. I mean, let's say these guys end up getting into place. I mean, what do you even think is a realistic timeline? Because I'm thinking that maybe in 2020 they could potentially have a shot at being a playoff team if everything goes right.
Yeah, there's no route with what they have at this moment. There's not a route, a realistic route. Like, they don't have the players in their system even this moment to be good in 2020.
And what tradable assets do they have at the major league level?
Really, I mean, nothing anymore, because they traded those guys besides Braun. Well, Braun isn't tradable anymore, like you illustrated. Right. You're absolutely right. VR is tradable.
Right, but it gets to the point, like, he's 25 years old, and you're just going to keep recycling.
Exactly. Then, no, that's a great point. It's like, what are you doing it for? So they just need to really, like, just draft well, which is so, like, saying, like, don't turn over the ball and play good defense, but they got to just draft well, and I think, yeah, they could. That's the earliest I see it. Maybe 2019 if they get lucky and a lot of these players pan out.
We're not even mentioning what division they're in. They're in probably the worst division in baseball to potentially be like a small market team at the time.
Yeah, it's a similar spot actually to when the Astros moved to the AL, how bad they were, and how it was like, oh, it's going to get even worse. They're going to the AL.
The Mariners were the fucking powerhouse at that point. Right. I think they set the single season wins record when they had like Ichiro that year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'll be interesting. I think if David Stearns is able to turn this team around before he gets fired, I mean, I think that's a huge accomplishment.
But let's not, we're being positive. Like, it's not good. Like, the state of the franchise right now is not good. Right. Overall, it's not good. You could always look at any franchise and see the good things and what they could do. But, like, you know, as of this moment, there's nothing there. Like, there's not enough there to see a route to a good team. But that doesn't mean it won't happen.
No. Yeah. And like you said, there always are good points we could see. But, you know, if I was going to do a power ranking of, like, a discounted, I guess we'll use, like, a finance term, like a discounted, like, wins flow of even let's move it out to, like, the next 25 years. I mean, or let's say 10 years. I don't think this team can really be competitive at any point. I don't know if that's a combination of the market being a small market team. But, you know, like, they have a pretty good farm system right now. But there is definitely a noticeable lack of depth at the lower levels. And
I'm going to ask you before we're done. So they're tied with, tell me who you would buy over the next, let's do 4 years of these. These are tied for the bottom five at 125-1 odds to win the World Series next year.
Let's do 5 years just to make it a clean number.
All right. The Arizona Diamondbacks, the Cincinnati Reds, the Milwaukee Brewers, the Minnesota Twins, or the San Diego Padres?
I think the number one team out of them, I think, would be the Diamondbacks.
For who you think could do the best this season?
I think they could potentially make a deep playoff run. I'll make it, you know, win the division and or win a playoff series. I think the Diamondbacks are the most likely.
To do it the soonest or to have the most
just
success
general,
over the next 5 years?
In the next 5 years.
I don't like any of them.
No, it's
I guess
tough.
I would say the Reds, because I like some of their pitchers.
Yeah, the Reds.
And Votto is a douchebag, but I love him.
And they do have some sort of like ammo in terms of tradable assets. Like, they could trade Billy Hamilton, but yeah, you're right. I mean, Devin Mesoraco was a good player. He just can't stay healthy.
Yeah, Brandon Finnegan could pitch. Rafael Iglesias could pitch. I'm forgetting the other guys.
But that's a good choice because, as you said, like, most of those like young pitching prospects have already hit the majors, so they're a little bit higher on like the curve. Whereas like the Brewers, all of these top prospects are still 2 years away.
Yeah,
three years away.
The Diamondbacks, to me, of the five, and the sixth is the Athletics, who are in a similar spot. Because above the Athletics is the Braves, who we know are about to go up. But like the Diamondbacks are more like the Padres than they are like the Reds or Brewers to me, because they just went for it last offseason, sort of, and fell short. in a way, you know, but who knows? They do have people, whatever.
I mean, they have Goldschmidt. They have the center fielder, I forget his name, from Notre Dame, was like a top player. He broke his arm and missed most of the year.
Brady Quinn.
They have Zach Greinke at the most ridiculous contract in history.
Spooky Johnson.
That's interesting. I don't know. Hopefully Bernie does better. That's his name, the mascot.
Yeah, I think he may be happy now. I mean, I think it went over well, you know, whatever. Cool. All right, so Bernie, have fun with Bruce.
Do your thing.
Your new boy toy. Thanks for the scoop. And bye, guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening.